So I thought I'd start by introducing myself because, yeah, not I haven't I've only been here for about, well, actually I do know the exact time, a year and 3 months. I was in Thailand for 4.5 years prior to that. So a bit about me. I grew up in Brisbane, and then my parents and our family moved to Canberra, where they were assistant pastors for 2.5 years, and then we moved up to the coast. So this has been my longest standing home, but I've also lived in Cambodia for 9 months, and then fast forward 7 years, and then I went to Thailand, and then here I am. So that's a bit about me. I was a teacher prior to being a chaplain, and I loved it, but then God kind of gradually moved me into like being more pastoral, and even my role in Thailand moved from being a teacher in a classroom to being more like overseeing the primary school there. So it was kind of more pastoral with me looking after the people that were under me, as well as like being accountable. So I kind of the transition back to here into a chaplain role was pretty much just, yeah, straight in. And yeah, I love being a chaplain. It's so great. Hey, Stu, where'd you go? So it has its challenges, but on a whole, it's great to be able to, I don't know, just impact so many. And yeah, sometimes that feels really large, you know, but yeah, it's really good. So I've just got Lee. He's my sidekick for a few minutes. Can you just flick those lyrics back up? So Stu picked a really good song tonight because this has kind of been on my heart this whole week leading up to this. So the lyrics of Reckless Love, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. Is the next line. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And this song pretty much encapsulates the last 5 years for me. So if I kind of skip back a few years, my time in Thailand, I had just finished my teaching degree, and I was teaching in 2011, my first year. And about halfway through that year, I was kind of frustrated because I felt a call from God to missions for many years, been on a few missions trips to Cambodia and Thailand. And I just was like, God, when is it my turn? You know, when are you going to actually get me to go? You know, not just like hear the stories and, you know, dream about it. So I get a phone call from Pastor Jonathan Vickers in Thailand, and he just calls me up, you know, as you do. And I was kind of a bit shocked, you know, answering the phone call thinking, this is from Thailand, what the? Yeah, and he asked me, you know, hey, we're starting a small international Christian school because there is a need for like a more affordable education. And some of the missionaries and expats that kind of came over one parent had to step back from the ministry they came over to do because they had to be able to either homeschool their kids or, if they had the finances, to send them to an international school. So I was like, whoa, okay. I agreed to go over in September that year to suss things out, see if it was right. And as soon as I walked into the church, I just knew. I was like, whoa, I can't believe this feels like home. Oh, okay, I think I'm moving here. So that started that journey. So then the next 9 months, literally like almost to the day, I like was making preparation, and God was just like doing miracle after miracle, like financial provision, sponsors, resources for the school, like just so many things. One thing in particular which really blew me away, I was doing a contract at a school just before leaving, and the literacy coach met with me, because she does with all the teachers, and she goes, oh, you're going to Thailand. Oh, here, let me give you the draft document for the Australian curriculum with it all summarised, the scope and sequence. You know, it's not like available yet, but hey, I think this would be really helpful for you. I'm like, what? Are you even allowed to do that? So she's, you know, I give her my USB. I'm like, oh yeah, I want that. So she just, you know, gives it to me, you know. So just time after time after time, there were just things that God just literally just placed in my lap. So I had everything that I needed. So when I got there, it was like, okay, we're starting from scratch. There's literally no desks, no books. There's nothing. Right, out to the shops we go. So that started the process of that journey, setting up the school and starting like my own class after only really having a year of experience teaching, but experience with kids prior to that, so at least I kind of knew what to do with the kids. So that was an experience. So then fast forward a couple of years, you know, kind of tricky getting teachers, tricky sourcing people to kind of come over. You know, it's new, not many people know about it. You know, praying people in, and God, like, you know, literally bringing them in the week before school ends and we're starting the next term, you know, that kind of thing. So just seeing God provide time after time after time. But then in the midst of this, like, even though I was literally fulfilling my dream, like this had been a dream for so long, I still didn't believe that God actually loved me. And I didn't realize that, because I've grown up in a Christian home, and I've always like really sought after God, and I've loved him, but I've never been able to receive back. It's kind of like always been like a, yeah, I'll give, and then no, you don't need to give me anything in return. So it wasn't until I had like a bit of a misunderstanding with some friends of mine who lived next door, and I went home and I just was like, God, I just don't know. Why do we keep going around and around this circle? And I just keep like all these emotions and all of these things just keep coming up, and I overreact to everything, and oh, I just feel so alone and rah, rah, rah. And God said to me, it's because you don't believe I love you. I'm like, what? I was like, what? What? How can I be a Christian if I don't believe that you love me? And yeah, I kind of was like, wow, actually, that's true. I really don't. I don't trust you. So it was very strange saying that to God when he'd done so much and proved himself in so many ways, and yet, yeah, I still couldn't believe that he loved me. I didn't think I deserved it. I could see my flaws, and I could see I was very well aware of my shortcomings, and I was very well aware of how perfect and like pure and holy he is, and how capable he is and powerful, but I couldn't believe that could, like, he could love me. So anyway, so this started a journey where I kind of opened myself up and was like, okay, I'm going to let you show me. Like, actually, I guess, remove that wall and actually receive. So little bit by little bit. And this is the amazing thing. Like, God has always given me scriptures throughout my whole life. There's always been a scripture that he's given me, his word, that I could kind of, because I knew, if I backtrack a little further, when I was in grade 3, he gave me a scripture. My teacher asked me to share, and I just literally opened the Bible and read the first thing that came up. And the first thing that came up was Matthew 24:35, which says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So from that moment, it did something in me where even though I didn't believe God loved me and I didn't trust him, I trusted his word. So if he spoke his word to me, I knew it would happen and I had no doubt that he would come through on it. I just knew. So I trusted his word, even if I didn't trust him. So time after time, God's given me scriptures. And I've got a few here. So before I went to Thailand, he gave me Joshua 1:5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That was really key because I was doing it alone. So I felt like I was stepping out and going into this foreign country by myself, but he was confirming to me that he was with me. And then just before I left for Thailand, I actually had surgery on my nose and my tonsils because I had some breathing difficulties the year before. And I'd been on the waiting list. So, of course, you know, as things go, a month before I'm due to leave for Thailand, I get a call saying, hey, we've got a cancellation. Would you like to be booked in for surgery a week later? I'm like, what? I'm like, really? Can't you just heal me, God? Wouldn't that show that you love me? but no, he had other plans. He showed me that through this scripture that he gave me, Psalm 34:4-7, that I needed to face my fear because fear was holding me bound. So he loved me more than just healing me for the miraculous. He loved me for the longer term picture that he had. So Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So, yeah, when I went into surgery, that gave me the confidence because I could trust his word to get through it. Then during my time in Thailand, there were scriptures that he gave me too about fear. Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And dismayed really spoke to me at the time because I was going through something that was quite distressing. So it was like God's like, no matter what is distressing you, what's making you anxious, be strong and of good courage. And courage means to look fear in the face and actually do what you're afraid of regardless of being afraid. So I had to do that many times. but I'm stronger because of it. And then before I left Thailand, back to the other story. So God had been taking me through this journey of showing me that he loved me. But my last 6 months in Thailand specifically was like, a time where he really wanted to prove it. And it was the hardest time of my whole 4.5 years in Thailand. Everything went completely crazy. so I came back here June, July holidays because our school year ran from July through to May. So we had a break then. So I came back, had confirmation from many different ways, different people, that my time was coming to a close at the end of that year, so December. So I came back, knew, okay, I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm leaving. This is going to be hard, but at least I'm giving them lots of notice. So little did I know, though, that my friend, my housemate, she was also struggling with the fact that she was coming back. And she'd decided and been praying about leaving early. So she told me as we kind of got home and everything that she was going to be leaving in a month. So I was like, whoa, okay. Because for the school, that meant losing a teacher, and it was already so hard to find teachers and get them over there. Losing a teacher before the end of that first term. And then secondly, I was losing a housemate, so that meant financial pressure. And thirdly, a friend. Because you often would say goodbye to friends, they'd come and go, often. Someone would stay a year, someone would stay 3 months, someone would stay six, someone would come back. So I was like, okay, all right, this is fine, God's got this, he knew this was coming. Okay, he's already told me and he'd given me scriptures. So I like, yeah, after she'd told them and that settled down, then I told them and it kind of a little bit blew up. So the boss who was over me, she did not take it very well. And I was a little surprised because I was like, God, I needed you to like prepare their hearts, you know. But when I went to my pastor, Pastor Jonathan, he knew. So that was comforting. And God revealed it to my other boss as well, the director, over time. But so we kind of got through that. And then all of a sudden, the King of Thailand died. So the whole country went into mourning. So for a month, we had to wear black and white, literally, like no other colours. And we weren't allowed to, like, no one was allowed to celebrate anything in the country. Like, everything was, you know, music was turned down in all the restaurants, in the shopping malls, it was turned completely off. Anything that could be celebratory related was just shut down. They even contemplated cancelling their yearly celebration, the Yuping Festival, which is like a national celebration. And it's to do with their Buddhist beliefs. They even considered cancelling that because the king had died, because he's so honoured. So that was an interesting time as well. So then the feeling in the nation was quite heavy. So then we kind of got through that month and then term two, and my friend had left. Things were kind of starting to go back to normal. So then God started to kind of, I don't know, just bring hope again back in, you know, into things, not just for me, but for everyone in the work, everyone who was kind of there as a foreigner. God was kind of doing something, which was, yeah, really cool to see, just the way that he, I don't know, you know, miracles that you've been praying for ages, like, would happen, you know, just breakthroughs, just to kind of, yeah, encourage and strengthen us. So before Thailand, so that last term, I went away on a retreat and he gave me these scriptures, and one of them was a word that someone gave to me as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Ruth 1:12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isaiah 55:12. So then my last week, that's literally what happened. God just like showed me the fruit, showed me, the reward, and literally like there was, you know, a celebration as I kind of, yeah, went out. It wasn't, I guess, dampened by the previous events that had happened. And the most amazing thing, and I guess because like this showed me that even more so that God loved me and he had his hand on every single detail, because there were things that I kind of, you know, left to the last minute, as you do, like selling my motorbike and getting rid of all the stuff in my apartment. Kind of, you know, store it up, and then you're like, oh, just give that away. But then it's like you start giving it away. You're like, it's multiplying. I feel like there's just so much here. So as soon as I advertised my motorbike, the next day it sold. My guitar, next day it sold. The stuff that I needed to get out of the unit. Someone had just moved to Chiang Mai. So I was like, yeah, take it. Here's all this, you know, plates and things. So they were like, yeah, really blessed by it. So then my last 2 days, I spent with my class, and we actually were praying on the Thursday and leading up to Christmas, and we'd been talking about, you know, how Jesus died and kind of covering the story and everything. And I just felt to ask them if anyone wanted to give their heart to Jesus. And I was a little bit like, oh, this is strange. I know some of them aren't Christian, but okay, maybe it's time, you know. So I just did it. And two of the students in particular were like so eager. They were like, it's like they'd been waiting. And they were like, oh, yeah, I do. And then a third one kind of shyly put up her hand. And one of the children who put up his hand, he had come to us 6 months prior, and his father had left Thailand and left his mum and him, his sister, and flew to Australia, took their passports and just left them, just in a not so great situation. So she'd come to us saying, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't enroll them in these schools. Like, I'm hoping, you know, because you're smaller, maybe you'll take them on. I just heard it was a good school. They're not Christian. Didn't, you know, she just wanted her kids to be looked after. So he was very hurting, very broken, and would act out. And he wasn't very good at kind of controlling his body. So he was very flamboyant and, you know, boyish. So the other kids kind of like didn't take a shining to him really until, you know, I kind of showed them his good side, tried to, you know, talk him up. So he was like so eager, and he'd been so hungry just, you know, throughout the term as we studied Psalm 91. And so we prayed with them, and then I felt to ask them if they wanted to, you know, speak in tongues and, like, you know, be able to talk to the Holy Spirit and stuff. And one of the girls, Abella, she is the pastor's daughter. She actually said it before I did. She goes, oh, Miss West, I really feel like we should ask them maybe if they want to, you know, speak in, like, in tongues, you know, because then they can talk to God anytime. And I was just blown away. I'm like, wow. So I'm like, sure. Do you want to, you know, pray with them? And so she did. Anyway, so the next day, Cougar asked to borrow a Bible that afternoon. I was like, okay, sure, you can take it home for a reading. And the next day he comes in and he goes, Miss West, guess what? I've memorized Psalm 91. I've memorized the rest of it, because we couldn't get through the whole thing. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, and I stayed up all night reading Genesis. Oh, my goodness. And he's asking me all these questions, and I'm just like, what? What has happened to this kid? I'm like, wow. It was just, you know, God's faithfulness. Like, he'd been working on these kids and using me, and then there was, like, that fruit, you know? Like, God was actually, like, they had God as their friend. They had Jesus now. I was like, wow. So, yeah. Because, you know, as a teacher, you pray for your students, you sow so much into them, and then to have that was just like the most ultimate, yeah, reward. So then coming back from Thailand, things have been, yeah, on a different level altogether, experiencing culture shock. Reverse culture shock, and kind of just settling back into Australia, realizing how I've changed, how things have changed here, and trying to marry up the two. which I think will take a few more years yet, because I think I've been tireified. I've realised that I've taken on some of those cultural things from Thailand, because you learn to live with it and live there and kind of working with how things go, which is very different to the Australian way. So it's been quite a journey, but quite messy. And I don't know, for anyone who does know me, I'm not really good with mess. I'm good for a certain period of time, but then I kind of need things to be reorganized and put in order. So my desire for control has been sideswiped completely. We're still working on it, but yeah. So in this past year and a bit, I've literally just had to kind of sit back and fully receive. And it's been hard. It's been really hard. For someone who's kind of, I gave so much and came back and had to switch, switch a switch. Like go from giving, and sowing out, to literally only being able to receive. And God not even letting me do anything. So the first 3 months were spent assimilating back and settling and trying to get my head around things and literally just receiving, because I had nothing. I just couldn't do anything because it was just too hard. But it's amazing how even in that, it was like God's like, right, now sit back and I'm going to actually show you how much I love you so that you can't even question it, like not even the slightest little bit. Because when you literally, you have to basically sit and you're just kind of watching things go by and you're in life, but you literally just feel like you're just sitting because you don't have the energy to even stand because everything just seems so foreign and so different and so hard because you're just not used to, because it was familiar, but now it's changed. So it's kind of half familiar and half not. So you literally just have to receive. God just has had to provide. And it's amazing how he has done that. My job, I kind of had already been thinking I'd do chaplaincy when I came back. I felt him leading me in that direction. But the week, so on the Monday of the week that I decided, okay, I'm going to try this, I went and spent a day with Kelly Murphy. And it was great. I was like, oh yeah, I could do this. This would be fun, seeing how it sat. And then the next day, I was meeting with someone at a cafe, and Jenny Slushner, who was the previous chaplain at Palm Woods, she just walks in the door and I'm like, oh my goodness. So I go over and say hi, and because I already knew her because I'd worked at Palm Woods State School before I went to Thailand. I did my placement for teaching there and then I worked for a year and a bit and then went to Thailand. So I see her, say hi, and she says, what are you doing with yourself now? I'm like, oh, I'm looking into chaplaincy maybe. And she goes, what? She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, why? She's like, I literally am going to the school today to resign. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, really, God? You want me back at Palm Woods? Like, okay, this is weird. Unfinished business or I don't know. Or, yeah, just a God appointment. So she's like, you should apply. I'm like, oh, I will. Definitely going to. It feels like God just landed it in my lap. So I went through the process of that, studied 2 units and got the job, and there I am. And then in the interview, because it's only 2 days a week, so in the interview, I'm sitting there with Kerry Evans and Steve Kyler, and they're sussing me out. And then Steve says to me, "So, are you looking for any other chaplaincy positions?" And I was like, I was kind of a bit like, whoa, just one at a time. I can only handle one thing at a time. And he goes, "Oh, well, just think about it, but Karramundi Special School is looking for someone." And I was like, a special school, that would be different. I was like, So I just kind of left it because I was like, I need to not push myself too far. So I went away and I was in worship here one night and I just asked God, I'm like, should I go for this? And I asked my mum actually. I was like, "Mum, can you just ask God for one word for me?" And she said, "Go." I was like, "Oh, okay." Because I'd already felt what he was saying to me, but because of, I don't know, just because my emotions were up and down, trying to deal with everything else. Sometimes I wasn't so trustworthy. So I just needed that confirmation. So I went for it, got it. And as the principal, literally I felt like I was more interviewing the principal than the principal was interviewing me, because he was literally just telling me about the school and about their vision and, you know. And I'm sitting there going, oh my word, this is COIC, my school in Thailand. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was just so, wow, taken aback. It was like, just so amazing, you know? Just, you know, in the little things that God cared, that I missed my community, my family, and he gave it back to me in a different way so that I feel at home. So, needless to say, even though I'd been at Palm Woods before, and it was so like amazing to be back there and know people, and that kind of felt like home too, but Karramundi Special School it was just amazing how God just set that up. And the thing is, I wouldn't have gone for that if I hadn't gone for Palm Woods. So God even knew how I worked. He knew how to get in. And be like, right, setting you up for this. Okay, now this. So, yeah, pretty amazing. So some of the scriptures that he gave to me during this past year. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Isaiah 42:3. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah 42:9. And then the next one's kind of similar. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. That was the scripture you read on the journal. So he's literally done that. He's literally made a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And I couldn't do any of it. Like, there's nothing I could have done to make all of these things come into line or happen. And it's not just that. There's, like, countless things. My friend Kristen, she moved to Charleville. Rude of her. But she moved out to be a nurse. And even when she was contemplating the job, she goes, "Hey, you could move in. You could take over my unit." And I was like, oh, my goodness. And, like, God had given me a word that he would prepare the way and literally line up everything that I needed. And people were preparing for me even if they didn't know. And I was like, oh my goodness, no way. So anyway, things came about. We kind of just, you know, left it. And then, yep, for sure, just like it just worked. And she also left her furniture and her things for me, which was just such a blessing, because I'd come back to nothing, had given everything or sold everything over there, you know, and you go to get things here and you're like, oh, wait, that was in Thailand, not here that I had that. Oh, okay, I need to go buy that. Sticky tape, I don't know, just random stuff. Yeah, she just has blessed me so much. And she moved stuff out in Christmas, and then she moved stuff out a couple of weeks ago, the end of March, her furniture she'd left with me till then. And even like leading up to that, I was like, I don't have anything, God, like what am I going to do for furniture? And just literally like, he's like, it's fine, just keep trusting me, keep trusting me. But you know, I like to control things, so I have to like try and work things out, and it always doesn't work and it feels like work. So I've learnt to just, okay, we'll sit back again, just receive. All right, have you got it yet? Come on. We're like running out of time. Yes, I know you do things in the 11th hour, but still, I'd like it done sooner. So he's literally like given me everything that I need. I got given, and I was thinking about this just after I'd moved the last bit in. I got given a couch, I got given a queen-size bed, the frame, I got given a fridge, a washing machine, table and chairs, like literally everything that I needed. I'm just like, whoa. And, you know, me, I'm still thinking, but God, I don't deserve this, you know? And he's like, yes, you do, just because you're mine. So it's been very... very big learning curve, but I think I'm finally getting it. So, it's a journey, hey? So I'm just going to read from John 15. You're all probably familiar with this. The Abide chapter. So, seven. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, oh no, it was verse 4. Sorry. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And then skipping down to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And it's funny how in John 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus is actually talking to the disciples after Judas leaves at Passover, just before he's crucified. And the words that he says to them in his last moments with them are all about loving one another, asking in his name and you will receive, abiding in him and abiding in his love. And it's just repeated like time after time. Love one another, ask and you will receive, abide in me, abide in my love. And I think, well, for me personally, sometimes we complicate things and we get so caught up with doing things for God, which is good because we need to, because that's how you show love for people. That's how you love on people. But if we don't first receive, we've got nothing to give. And even though I kind of knew that, you know, it's different when God actually, like, when you literally can't do anything but receive, because then your value and your worth, you realize, is not because of what you do. It's just because of the fact that you're his. And it's funny, I've been watching my brother and his little girl. She's my niece. She's 17 months old. And she's, oh my goodness, she's just like a little bundle of joy. And just watching her with Aaron, her dad, my brother, And just the way he just simply delights in her, like literally just, she doesn't have to do anything special. You know, she falls over and just like gets up and goes, ha, 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 you know, and it's just like, you know, you can just see it written all over his face. He's like, aw, you're just so cute, you know, just love you so much. You know, like he just literally delights in her. He just, she doesn't have to do anything. She just receives, receives, receives. That's literally all she does. And, you know, it's just like our whole family. We can all literally just sit around watching Ada. And it's like the best time, you know. We just, yeah, everyone goes away like, oh, you know. And that's what God does with us. You know, he just wants to be with us and just enjoy us. And then he wants us to show others what that love looks like. Because like Jesus said to his disciples, you know, love one another. Because we do, we need each other. Like he made us to have a relationship with him and to be loved by him. But he actually also made us to have a relationship with each other. And one of the things that walking through this journey to being a chaplain, I've realized there's so much I want to give and I can't give everything that's needed. I need others to work alongside. I need others to come in and do things or help with things or pray to support, you know, so that I can keep going. And show those communities that there's more to life, that they actually are loved, because they're searching for it. They're searching for it. Every single person was made to be loved. That's what we were made for. And yet there's so many people who are not. Like, they literally have no one to love them. And they'll share a story with you. And they're going through something, some crisis has happened, and they've got no support, no one. They have no friends, no contacts, no family around. They're literally them and their kids, if they've got them. Well, in this situation that there was. But there's no one to love them because they're not part of a church. They can't just come to church on Sunday and someone asks how they're going and they can tell them. There's no one there. So that's where we come in, you know, just simply loving people. It may not seem like much to us, you know, just, I don't know, random acts of kindness, little tiny things. They just mean the world to so many people because they've just never had that or they don't have that. And I guess sometimes it's easy to forget when you do have it. But, yeah. So I'll leave that with you. Yeah, just let God love you like I'm learning to. And love others. Because that's what the commandment was that he gave us. So.
Thanks so much, Beck. Thought it might be good to get you to pray for us. You know, in Christian circles, I don't think you're the only one who has actually had that journey in terms of giving, giving, giving. I don't know, my journey's been similar as well. It's a position that we need to come back to again and again and again to say, okay, God, I'm ready to receive your love. And so I'm sure that there's, you know, if you're here tonight and you'd just like to receive, yeah, the Father's love, you know, the love of the Father is just complete. And his plans and his purposes for us are so much bigger and better than what we can imagine. You know, like all the blessings that you've just kind of talked about tonight, it's just been so amazing. And we can often be like the older brother in the prodigal son story, you know, out in the fields. You know, we get angry and we get resentful and going, God, you never even gave me a fatted calf. And then this brother of mine, but really the Father says to him, you know, son, I love you. All that I have is yours, you know, and he is like your brother that just delights in his kids. So if you're here tonight and you just like to, even just to begin to receive the love of the Father and just open your heart tonight, Beck, I might just get you to pray as we wrap up.
Father, I just thank you. Thank you that you do love us so much that you sent Jesus to make the payment that was needed so that we can actually be close to you and drawn close to you, come before you boldly with confidence, not have to question your love for us, not have to question whether we can come to you. And Lord, I just thank you that you just give us each a revelation of your love right now, that you would just pour out your love upon everyone here, that you would remind them and help them to remember the things you have done on their behalf. Help them to remember where you have given to them, where you have loved on them, where you have moved mountains for them. Lord, I pray that you would just give them that renewed sense of hope and that peace that you are always with them, that you never leave them nor forsake them, that you go before them, that you're a good, good Father, and you love us unconditionally. No strings attached. Thank you. Amen.